what God has in store for you, you lucky ducks. It's something great. Hallelujah. Wonderful. I'd like to start with some humor before I start. Is that all right? The little baby was baptized, and on the way home in the car, little Johnny was in the back seat, crying his eyes out. And his mother turned around. She wasn't driving, by the way. His mother turned around and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" "Oh, Mummy, that guy in the big gown in the church, he said he hoped the baby would be brought up in a good Christian home, but I wanted to stay with us." Okay. Hallelujah. All right. If you want to have a last week, it was part A and part B. We got a bit carried away. So just to give you a base text, we use in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, which says, all Scripture. Everybody say all Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by man. Not God. All Scripture is inspired by God. And it's profitable and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. That was our base text, and everything else stemmed from there. Father, I just thank you, Lord, this morning for this another opportunity to be your representative, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll be the one to speak. For Lord, I don't really know these people. I don't know what's going on in their lives and their hearts and their minds. But you do. Not only do you know, but you are able to do something about it. So Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive the good things you have for us today. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Lift your hands, please. Lift your Bibles, rather. Lift your Bibles. Everybody got a Bible? One or two people? Yeah, lift your phones, but don't start texting, please, sir. Repeat after me. This is the Word of God. It is inspired by God. What it says, I believe. What it says about me, I believe. What it says I can do, I believe. What it says I am, I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So quickly going through a couple of key points. That was the base scripture. I did stats on how many people read the Bible. I picked one out here. The Bible Society stats showed that only 2 in 10 Aussie Christians read the Bible daily. 2 in 10. Not many, is it? Hopefully this church is different. It said the biggest barriers to reading the Bible. Number one, not having enough time. Not having enough time. But we seem to have time for Facebook, for texting, for emails, for sport. Rugby league starting soon, Brad. Woo! Yeah, good. All right. That's after the Bible, of course. We need to, not just Facebook, but we need to have the Facebook. Isn't that true? We have Facebook, but let's make sure we have the Facebook first. We need to realize what I said last week, that we can read the Bible in 4 chapters a day, the whole year accomplished. How many minutes a day would that take? Anybody remember? 15 minutes per day. We had a Bible study on Wednesday evening with our family. And I asked them to work out, because I wasn't clever enough. If we're awake, say, 16 hours, how much was 15 minutes? In fact, it's 13 minutes. How much was 13 minutes as a percentage of 16 hours? 1.35% of your day. How many of you reckon you could do that? 2. Okay, right. Early morning was said to be the best time, and I know last week I'm preaching to the converted. However, as 2 Peter 1:12 says, I always hear to remind you. G.K. Chesterton said, the Bible is light for us, and we need to be reminded more than we need to be instructed. So my purpose again today through this message is to encourage you, to inspire you, and to motivate you to dust off your Bible, study His Word more than perhaps you do already, because as the title of the message is, Inspired by God. I said last week it was inerrant, the Bible. It was infallible. It was indestructible. We talked about the 9 tangible benefits of Bible reading, which were quite mind-blowing. Don't have time to go through them again. Please get the tape. Listen to those happenings that happen to people when they read the Bible. And I said that 4 times a week was the major difference in people's lives. If you read it 4 times a week, there was a major shift. On the way home in the car, my wife made the point. Those percentages, for instance, were, if you read the Bible 4 times a week, feeling lonely drops 30%. Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. And so on and so on. There were 9 of them. If you read the Bible just 4 times a week, the point was made driving home in the car, and my wife's great for that. We discussed the message. What happens if you read it 5 times a week? Or 6 times a week? Or 7 times a week? That's radical, Brad. But what would happen if we did? Because we're only talking about 1.35% of your day. So we want to encourage you to read the Word of God. I talked about identifying your why, because why makes all the difference to your reason for reading. How are we doing that, Jake? Yeah, the why, that's good. When you find your reason to do it, you will feel that fire within you, that kind of motivation that makes you keep going while others perhaps would give up. Right, that's part one. Part two. How many of you heard of Joyce Meyer? Joyce Meyer is a great teacher. She has a worldwide ministry. However, she had a very rugged start. When her father came back from World War II, and I'm sorry to mention it, but he began to sexually abuse her. He began to emotionally abuse her and mentally abuse her for years. But she went on from that, and she now has a worldwide ministry. And I love Joyce's teaching. If you get a chance, have a listen. This is what Joyce Meyer says about the Word. For more than 40 years now, I have been studying the Bible, and it has drastically changed my life. It's been the key to radical transformation in my perspectives and attitudes. And God has healed and restored my spirit. He's restored my soul, and He's restored my body through the power of His Word. Isn't that amazing? All that she went through. She goes on to say, the words within its pages are medicine for your soul. She says at the end, don't study God's word. If you don't study God's word consistently and apply this truth to our lives, we will lack the power we need to mature in Christ and glorify God in the world. There's a woman, I think, knows what she's talking about. It changed her life. And I think it'll change our life. Recently, some of our family members started coming to church. One in particular, I don't think he'd ever been to church. And some of our family members have started coming back to church. Everybody shout hallelujah. And we were doing a study on a Wednesday night, as I've just said. One of them was the Bible's Guide to Living. And we looked at John 17, verse 17. Jesus is praying for the church. And he says there, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. People want the truth. And I was just telling the family, you've got to remember, if you want to find the truth, pick up the Bible. For the Word is the truth. John Wimber said, you know John Wimber? In John 17, there's Jesus praying for the disciples. And he said, the good news is, Jesus is praying for us. The bad news is, you're going to need it. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. Next one, please, Jake. This is what the Word does for us. We are being saved from the power of sin. That is sanctification. If you want to be saved from the power of sin, the way to do it is to get into the Word of God. If you're struggling with some besetting sin in your life, like probably a lot of us have had, get into the Word. It'll set you free. Jesus knew that our Christian growth and power over sin would depend upon our reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God. We need to keep the main thing, the main thing. Because there's so much going on in life, isn't there? But the main thing, we've got to get into the Word of God. Why? Because this world, like I said last week, I believe, this world needs to see Christ in us. It needs to see our character changed, our conversation changed, and our conduct changed. But Jesus Christ will make the difference. Thankfully, now there are well over 2 billion people in the world who profess the name of Jesus. And we are part of them. When we are born again, it's as though we are spiritual babies, and the Word of God is our spiritual milk that will help us grow. When people are born again and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they don't want to read the Bible, let me suggest to you, there is something wrong. I've never seen a newborn baby not wanting the mother's milk. In fact, let me add to that. This morning, our 7th great-grandchild was born. Hallelujah. Number 7. I know what you're thinking. He doesn't look old enough. And I thank you for your kind thoughts. So Aubrey, it's an unusual name, A-U-B-R-E-E, Aubrey Lee Cherry is now with us since 2:17 a.m. this morning. Thank God she didn't call Granddad to tell him. Until later. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies crave spiritual milk, so that by it they may grow in your salvation. So, you know, a baby needs the milk and will want the milk. But as we grow up, you know, we come off the basics of Christianity, Tony, and we go into the deeper things, what we call the meat of the Word. You may have heard the guy that came to the pastor and said, Pastor, I'm leaving the church. He said, why are you leaving my church? I'm not being fed. The pastor said, well, how old are you? He said, I'm 28. He said, you know, I have a son, 28. What would you think if my son came into my office, scrawny, bag of bones, and said, Dad, I'm leaving this family. Why are you leaving, son? I'm not being fed. The point is, as we grow, listening to Pastor Glenn once a week doesn't cut it. Doesn't cut it. We've got to learn to feed ourselves. Somebody say amen, Pastor Allen. Amen. Amen. We've got to feed ourselves. And I would think we've all got a Bible in the house. Amen. John 1:1, the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh for us. And you know, Jesus is right throughout this Word. In the Old Testament, He is predicted. We see that by the sacrifices that Peter was talking about this morning. In the Gospels, He is revealed. We saw that when He was born of the Virgin Mary. In the book of Acts, we see Him preached. When Peter stood up, did the first sermon, 3,000 people came to Jesus Christ. We see him in the epistles where he is explained. And it's said that he is the representation of God. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus is expected, coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords. Hallelujah! This book is all about the King. We need to be reading God's Word frequently to tune into His frequency. I like that. Write that down on the neck of somebody in front of you. We need to be reading it frequently to tune into God's frequency. You know, people say, Pastor, God's not speaking to me. Is your Bible open? No. As we read it frequently, we'll begin to tune in, Mary, to the frequency of God. We can't just read the Courier Mail and expect to get on God's frequency. We can't just look at Facebook and post on Facebook, which I love, by the way. But we can't expect to be on God's frequency on Facebook or email. We've got to be in His book, because the book is all about Him. And I would like to be on God's frequency, because I know it's the best for me. He wants the best for me. How many of you want the best for yourselves? And so does God. Hip, hip. There is no equal to the Bible, and there never will be. God's Word is always what you need, and there's no book like it in its continuity and its consistency. You know, the world is changing all the time. You are changing all the time. Politics are changing. Don't get me started on that. Anyway, the world is changing all the time. And now we've got this great reset. Have you looked at the great reset that's happening with Bill Gates and all that stuff, who wants to bring in a new world order? Please don't let that worry you. God is still on the throne. Amen. God's still on the throne no matter what is happening out there. I don't care how powerful Bill Gates and all his aliases are and his friends are. God still reigns, and it's to him we look to, and it's to him we trust. So, the Bible never changes. Little girl one day, Brad, was at home, and there was a book on the shelf. She said to her mother, Mom, what is that book up there? She said, oh dear, that's the Bible. That's God's Word. Little girl said, Mariana, don't you think we should give it back to him? We never use it. That's not true in your house. There is no book like it in its influence and its life-changing power. Listen to this. Bit of a big word. God is incorporeal, which means God is, what's the word I got there? God is intangible. Please don't misunderstand when I say this. God is intangible. Jesus is intangible. The Holy Spirit is intangible. You know, the nearest thing we have to the Trinity that's not intangible but tangible is the divine Word of God. We can touch it, we can hold it, we can read it. I think there needs to come back a real respect for this book. Have you seen what the Muslims do if you touch the Quran? They're pretty mad if you touch their book. Oh, I'm not saying we should get like that, but I think we should treasure it more. When we open the book, there is treasure in here for you and for me. Adrian Rogers says, how can we know the God of the Bible unless we first know the Bible of God? It's true, isn't it? Pretty basic. You know, one of the joys of my life is to see my wife smile. I love seeing my wife happy. You know, happy wife? Happy life. Mary, you know, and Tony, you know, I can tell. But I love to see my wife smiling. I love to see happy. I love to see my family happy. I like to see you happy. I like to see my friends happy. However, do you know that you can make God happy? You can make him smile. How many of you want to put a smile on the face of God? Have a turn to the book of Hebrews 11, verse 6. I'll show you how you can put a smile on the face of God. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me turn it around. With faith, it is possible to please God. How are we going to get faith that pleases God? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love that thought, don't you? That God is pleased, and I can please him simply by reading the book and increasing my faith, and I can walk as a man of faith, and God is pleased by that. The fact that the Bible is profitable for teaching implies, of course, that it's necessary to study it. God chose to communicate his truth in written form. One of the great tragedies of American Christianity, not Australian, is that the species pastor, theologian as somebody explains the Bible, is almost extinct. Listen to this, please. We have forgotten that the greatest theologians of the past, like Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Jonathan Edwards, and the Puritans, they were pastors, but they were theologians as well. Today's pastors, they flock to church growth seminars, give proven methods for increasing church attendance and managing and growing the church. And that's not a bad thing, as long as they're not neglecting being theologians and getting into the Word and looking for methods and means of bringing more people into the church. That's all pretty good, but please, let's not neglect this word. Thank God that this church, N Church, has a pastor theologian in Pastor Glenn. I never forget the story of a street preacher in the middle of Queen Street Mall. He had a hat on the floor, Mary. And he was saying, be careful. Be careful, it's alive. Crikey, it's amazing. I think he was Steve Irwin's brother. Crikey, watch it. It's alive, it's moving. Anyway, he picks up the hat. Of course, you know the story, you're way ahead of me. He picks up the hat, and underneath the hat is the Word of God, because Hebrews 4:12, what does it say? The Word of God is alive and powerful. Everybody say the Word of God. It's alive. And it's active. I read the other day, don't forget, it's not just alive. You can be dormant and alive, but it's alive and it's active. And it changes our lives. Please let me quote this to you. Calvin says, if anyone thinks that the air is beaten by an empty sound when the word is preached, he is greatly mistaken. For it is a living thing and full of hidden power, which leaves nothing in man untouched. Isn't that powerful? You think, I mean, Brad, we've got to have faith in that word. You know, it's no good thinking, oh, I'll preach the word and, you know. No! When we read the word or preach the word or speak the word to one another, it's alive and it's active. Something's going to happen. And Mitch prayed before I preached today. And it's not just me, if you understand. But he wants something to happen, and so do you. I was on my fist this morning in my study. God, please, not just me. Let your word go forth, alive and active, and do something in the lives of these people and mine. Martin Luther. You heard of Martin Luther? Stood against the might of the Roman Catholic Church. And I don't have time to go into it all, but he was against the indulgences. They were selling indulgences so people could shorten their time in purgatory. And they were making money to build the Basilica Church in Rome. What a way to get money for people to pay for these things, to get their family out of purgatory. It was just a terrible thing. So Martin Luther stood against it. He was protesting against it. And that, of course, is why we're called Protestants. Protesters. They call us Protestants because of that. And it goes on to say, listen to this, please, about the amazing transforming power of God. When people praised Luther for his role in the Reformation, and it was a huge Reformation, everything changed in 1517. Everything changed. So they began to praise him for us. He deflected the praise to the Word, to the Bible. He said, "While I slept," and pardon this next part, "or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends, the Word so greatly weakened the papacy, the Catholic system, that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The Word did everything." That is so powerful. He said, "It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I just put on the board of the church what the Word says." The book of Romans changed his life. For by faith we are saved. Not by indulgences and doing this and doing that. Oh, thank God. Christ came and changed it all. Amen. The cry of the Reformation can be summed up in the five Latin phrases. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. Sola Grata, grace alone. Sola Fide, faith alone. Sola Christus, in Christ alone. And Sola de Gloria, the glory of God alone. This morning, we have been looking at the first one, the Bible. We believe as Protestants that the Bible alone, everybody say the Bible alone. The Bible alone is the authority for faith and life. It's the Bible alone, not the Bible plus. That little word alone is what separates us from the Mormons. They believe in the Bible plus the Book of Mormon. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe in the Bible plus the Watchtower. Christian Scientists, they believe in the Bible plus the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. Seventh-day Adventists, they believe in the Bible plus the writings of Ellen White. Roman Catholics, they believe in the Bible plus the tradition of the church. This is what we believe in, and only this. We believe that the Bible is the inspired, sufficient, inerrant, infallible, immutable, the invincible Word of Almighty God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God. Let me close with this story. My wife and I, some time ago, with our twins, Bev and Kim, we were invited to do an Easter crusade in Blackwater. Anybody heard of Blackwater? And we hadn't done much of Australia, being Welsh people. But anyway, we thought, oh my God, look where it is. Anyway, we went up on a Friday, or Thursday, and we were doing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as a crusade for Easter. Long short, because lots of things happened. How much will I tell you? We'll skip the Saturday night. Obviously, we'd been in prayer, my wife and I, have been praying hard about this. And on the Saturday night, this little country church was packed out. The windows were open for people to lean in to hear what was going on. Obviously, I was preaching the Word of God. As the night went on, I heard a commotion at the back of the church. Some of the elders were talking to this guy. I didn't know till after what had happened. As the Word was being preached, this man had gone past the window of the church with a gun in his hand on his way to kill his wife, who was having an affair with one of his mates. His plan was to kill her, kill him, then commit suicide. You hear the word of God being preached, you understand this is not Alan Ralph. Okay, this is not a, this is the word of God. Like Luther said, it wasn't me. It was the word did it all. He heard the word of God from inside this little church. He stopped, looked in through the window, came back to the entrance of the church, went in, found some of the elders, gave them his gun, told them what he was doing, and they led him to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what this word can do. Three lives were saved physically that night. One spiritually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its life, for the power it has to change lives, the power it has, Lord, to change everybody, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done, no matter how bad they are. Lord, it's there to rescue the worst and to change their lives and put them on a brand new road. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life, my wife's life, my family's life. I thank you what you're continuing to do because it's your word. It's your word. That's how vital. Lord, please let the people hear this morning the absolute necessity of getting into your word daily that we might get on your frequency, Lord. Be your people, the people you've called us to be. Every head is bowed this morning and every eye is closed. And I always ask for three kinds of people that may be here. Maybe you've never done business with God. Maybe you've never come to a place where you've said, hey, I believe this. I'm so bad I thought there was no hope, but I can see that Jesus loves me and will forgive me. I want to pray for you this morning if that's you. Maybe it's you and you used to know God. You used to go on with God, but the things of the world has drawn you back, and you have gone cold. I want to pray for you too. And the third category, you're not really sure in your heart that if something was to happen to you today, and we never know, folks, and I don't want to be dramatic about this, but we never know when we'll breathe our last. If you believe or don't believe that you will go to heaven if something happened to you like that today, I want to pray for you too. So those three types of people, while no one's looking around, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm not going to call you out the front. We're all going to pray together in a moment that God will come into your life with his word and begin to change you for the better. If you'd like prayer, just raise your hand, give me a wave, let me pray for you. Thank you for your hand. Thank you for your hand there. Anybody else? Well, thank you for your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Want to raise your hand that God will touch you this morning. Thank you for your hand. God bless you. Thank you. Down the front here. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hands down. Anybody else before we move on? I want you to have the best of life. And I'm telling you, the best of life is found in the Word. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together, please. Would you please repeat this prayer after me, and especially the people who raised your hands? You were never going to be the same again, and I'm excited for you. I really am. Pray after me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on a cross to pay for all my sins, as bad and as many as they may be. He will cleanse me from them all. Today I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and also as my Lord. Come into my life. Cleanse me and change me. Make me a brand new person. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. We're going to close this morning.